You're tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Hello, I'm Chris Lisher, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel, an intelligent, lively discussion on astrology, art, and adventure. Timing is everything, and as the great wheel turns, we are best prepared when we are best informed. Join me as I explore the current planetary alignments and offer insights for coping with change. Educational, informative, enlightening, the Turning of the Wheel is a welcome pause in your daily swirl of constant change. Through intelligent discourse, inspired guests, and educational segments, I will help to enlighten your knowledge of astrology and guide you to accept change as the great wheel of life turns. Call in with your questions and speak with some of the greatest visionaries in the time-tested practice of astrology. Turning of the Wheel, Astrology, Art, and Adventure with Chris Lisher, live each Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Awakening Zone Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Lisher, and you've turned into Turning of the Wheel. This is a show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure. And I'm going to be taking readings at the very end of the show. I do have a pre-recorded show today because I recorded the show with someone who I think is an important visionary healer and thinker. And so I want you to hear what I have to say with him, and then I'll be on in a little while later to take calls from you and to do your readings. I will also do readings in the chat room, the Awakening Zone chat room. If you want to go over there, I can also do that. Be sure you have your birth date, your birthplace, and your birth time. Your birth time is most important because that way I can get your rising sign and tell you exactly what's going on. I want to remind you to take notice of my newsletter, which comes out every Sunday evening at 5:30 on the East Coast, and it's there in your mailbox for your on Monday morning. It has all the astrology for the week to come. You want to follow that. You always want to read your sun sign and your rising sign on that each week. Also, you can follow me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You can like me on Turning of the Wheel, which is my Facebook page. I'm getting close to a magic number, so a few more likes will help out measurably there. And the same is true for my mailing list. Be sure to sign up there. I've got some exciting things lined up in the future, so it's important to maybe perhaps stay in line and hear what's going to be coming up. And of course, we know that the astrology for the upcoming season is incredibly rich. So I'm going to start the next show off. It does have some time based things in it, which might throw you off a little bit because of when I recorded it. Don't let that bother you. The essence of the conversation is where the richness lies. So have a listen and let's see what goes. And I'll be there to talk to you afterwards with regard to your readings for a few minutes if people want to call in. And you can also contact me in the chat room where I'll be for the next few minutes. So here we go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel. My name is Chris Lisher. As you know, this is a show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure, and I'm on a brand new adventure, as you know. Those of you who've been following me for the last 7 years on my old network know that I'm now on a new network. I'm on the Awakening Zone Radio Network, and I'm very pleased to be there. I feel it's a good place to start. I'm starting my new show on October the 4th, which is going to be the new moon in Libra, which is at 11 degrees Libra, which is exactly on my natal Saturn, so I feel very good and auspicious about the timing of this, and I think it's going to be a wonderful new venture for me. And, you know, as I said in my last show on Contact Talk Radio the other day, that things for me have always worked in sevens. Sevens have been a very sort of an ominous number for me simply because of the fact that first of all, it's very Saturnian, and it's in as much as it's tied to the Saturn cycles. But I found it to be very a good time to just, you know, sort of kick things up a notch, reach out to new people, reach out to new audiences, and so I find this to be a very auspicious time. I want to remind you all about my newsletter. If you go to my website and sign up for my newsletter, you'll get the weekly astrology reports every Sunday evening at 5:30. It will land in your mailbox so you can start your week off on Monday morning and see what's coming up in your week. I encourage you to always read your sun sign and your rising sign. If you don't know your rising sign, go to my website, and there's a rising sign calculator there. All you need to do is get your birth time. If you don't know your birth time, ask your mother. I'm pretty sure she was there, and we'll be able to figure out that. When you know those two pieces of your chart, you will get 85% accuracy in your chart. And, you know, people rave all the time about my newsletter. I get great feedback about the accuracy, and people are very grateful for the kind of information that's there. So I encourage you to look into that. You'll find that it's a great wealth of information, and it's a free service, and it's a great way to keep in touch with what's going on with me and my new show and everything else. But today I've got a wonderful guest. His name is Peter Roth. He's a friend of mine in New York City, and he's a very interesting guy. He's been around the field for many years, and he is an astrologer, he's an intuitive healer. He has his own radio show in New York City called The Energy Stew, which has been on for 7 years on the Progressive Radio Network. And he's a very similar kind of, he's cut from the same cloth as myself, I guess you might say, although he's got much more advanced in his knowledge and his intuitive powers. But we have a sort of a eclectic approach to radio and sort of the topics that we delve into. We like this sort of, his is called The Energy Stew, mine is called Turning of the Wheel. I like to think of it as spiritual adventure, in which we cast this wide net, which brings in a lot of esoteric topics and helps, I think, ultimately to progress and move society and humanity forward in a very evolutionary manner by pushing boundaries, by stretching a little bit, by looking into new alternatives and tapping into areas of our lives which we may not have been aware of. And one of the things that Peter is especially good at is working with intuition. There's a very strong... He's got a very strong antenna, is what I would like to think of it. It's kind of like his antenna is on and it's always working. And as a result, he's able to pick up a certain strong energy signals from this universal antenna of his that guides him to help people with their healing, guides them on their paths, and really works to enlighten them and make them mindful of what is in their toolbox at their disposal. So, welcome to the show, Peter. It's great to have you on.
Thanks,
very, very exciting to be able to hear this. Why don't you give your elevator speech to us? Why don't you?
You mean the 30-second one?
If you've got a longer one, maybe you're going to the 105th floor. So,
okay.
Maybe you've got a long elevator ride.
Well, time is all an illusion anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm an intuitive. I hear things. I can know things, I feel things, my hands work. We'll talk more about those different aspects.
Are those your receptors?
I always tell people I see through my hands.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what they know. And I work a lot remotely with people, so I can work on the phone. I can even, you could, for instance, ask me about somebody in some distant place, and I'll tap right into that person and be able to tell you so much about them.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like is that I'm somebody who hears. I don't have to know myself. My mind doesn't have to figure anything out. I can sit with people, know nothing, and all of a sudden they know a lot because it's delivered to me.
Mm-hmm. And so when you, supposing you were to walk into a room with a bunch of people in that room, would you be able to sort of, would your head be scattered with all of this energy?
Not at all.
Are you able to focus it?
Yes. I need to pick out somebody and then open up my hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I'm getting all kinds of stray hearings coming in.
Right.
I don't think I'd be very good if that happened.
Well, it'd be kind of like trying to tune a radio, an old-fashioned radio. There'd be all kinds of static.
Right, and I don't pay attention to... I don't get that. When I pay attention, I get clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm in a large group of strangers, I don't even want to be intuitive because...
Right.
It really is unnecessary because I don't... When I'm asked to be intuitive, I'm fine. But I don't impose my intuition on people. I don't want to know things that I have to worry about. But I do, for instance, tune in, like if I'm watching some famous person doing something somewhere. I remember at one point I decided to tune into all the former presidents of the United States.
Oh, my gosh.
And I did one at a time, and I learned so much about their lives and their troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And
things that were not widely known to the general public, perhaps.
Probably. Well, that happens a lot with me. I mean, that's what intuition does. And mm-hmm. Very often, I sit with people who I know nothing about, and they don't know why I know what I know, because nobody else knows.
Right, right. So how does it differ from, say, what a psychic would do? How does this differ, or does it differ?
It really doesn't. It's only a label. I don't.
So it's just the vernacular, nomenclature of some sort.
I don't really use the word psychic much,
right?
Because it turns people on to another realm of style, let's say, that reminds me of gypsies.
Yeah, there's sort of a sensationalist quality to it.
Yeah, and then people want to know things that I'm a healer, I'm a counselor, and the intuition I get has to do with human dynamics. There are a lot of psychics who actually are really good at knowing what color car you drive, what floor in your apartment house you live on, or, you know, the names of your grandparents. I don't know those things because, to me, those aren't what's relevant. So my guides out there, the universe I work with, gives me what's relevant to help people know themselves better, heal, be happier in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for insights. I'm looking for the story. I'm looking for how to help somebody find solutions that they could never find before because they didn't know the problem. They knew they were in trouble, but they didn't know why. I go back to the source. I travel through time. In all my sessions, I don't stay just in the present. I'll go back to childhood. I'll go back to even conception. There are things that happen in utero that are really important in a person's life that change them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to see that.
Yeah, I firmly believe in that myself. And I think the distinction that you make is a good one because when we think of the world of the psychic, we think of sort of the carnival kind of person looking into a crystal ball and looking for sensationalist kind of items and has, you know, they're talking with, you know, Aunt Mabel and stuff like that and their deceased cats and stuff like that. That's a different world. Whereas the world of intuition, I think, allows you to be more crisp in your observations, in what it is that actually ails a person. And I think that... So do you find that people are coming to you with that, looking for help, or is it just that you it has to be self-directed on their part? They would seek you out.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that the people who seek me out, first of all, are people who understand intuition. not always, though. Some people are sent to me
right.
by family, friends. You need to see Peter.
Okay.
And then they come in and have no idea what I'm doing or where I know comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get shocked by what I do know. And you walk out in a daze. How did he know all those things? And how did he have answers that I've been trying to find? But that's why they were sent to me.
Right. So, you know, when you think about intuition, how has it impacted your own personal life? Because you have had to operate on your own intuition, your own gut, literally, as to which way to go, who to meet, who to associate with, who to marry, who to, you know, where to go in your life. Have you found that that's been a very useful guide? And then to augment that, at what age did you know you had this?
Okay. I wasn't born this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously I was, but I didn't know about it until I was older. And I was doing a lot of things in my life that were amazing me about what I knew that I probably shouldn't have known because, what's going on here? How come I know all this?
And you had validation of that because you would know something by meeting somebody and then all of a sudden you would see it happen or you'd see the certain things that manifested that validated.
Yeah, I would know things and then say things, and people would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
One time, I wrote a book on. I've had a long running career, and so as a runner, I wrote a travel book. This is in the 70s, 1970s. I wrote a book on where to run in 125 American cities. I only traveled to 35 of them, and yet so many mornings I'd wake up to. Type. We used typewriters in those days.
Of course, yeah.
To type about a new city, and I knew all about it. I'd wake up in the morning, and I would just know that city, and I didn't understand how I knew it.
And would you know to turn left or right or which way to go?
No, it wasn't about direction. I would know so many stories about it, the ambiance,
the culture,
sort of,
yeah. Mm-hmm. The personality. All cities have personality.
The personality of the city. How it felt, how it looked, how it felt, all those things that I had no idea why I knew all that, but I knew it and typed it in and was in wonderment that throughout the whole book, I was getting this information, didn't know where it came from.
You got your own little movie theater running in your head all the time.
And there were people from those cities called me after the book came out and said, how come you didn't call when you were here? And I said, well, I never got there. They said, well, how did you know all that stuff? Because in those days, it's very different than when the internet is here now.
No, I know.
We can know so much more.
It is true. When you were able to pick up this vibe, you know, when you're younger and you're impressionable and you're going through life, and you know, when you discovered that you had this ability, were you able to use it to your own advantage, or did you find that it helped you with regard to discovering who you were, where you were going, you know, sort of by following your gut, literally?
There's a difference between intuition and instinct.
And your gut would be instinct.
And I believe they're both intuition, but instinct comes from another place. Like, for instance, I can walk out the door and ask for higher guidance of which way I should turn, and I could be told, okay, turn left. And I'll say, oh, thanks for sharing, but I feel like I want to turn right.
Oh, interesting.
And so my instincts, I want to honor. And I also want to honor higher consciousness. People will say, well, if they're going to tell you what way to turn, don't you always want to follow that? Well, yes and no. Maybe it's best for me to do what I'm told.
Hmm. That sort of reminds me of that whole sliding doors kind of concept. You know, that snap decision people make at a moment in time that dictates their fate, so to speak. And by following your instincts, perhaps you're more inclined. Like, you look at any animal would follow their instincts first.
But I've also been taught that the guidance that they give me through intuition can be life-saving. So there are times when, for instance, I remember once I went to the Central Park to go for a run, about to step on the park drive, and I heard, stop, don't do that. And I said, well, what's going on here? And this is before I really knew consciously that I was so intuitive.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, yeah, I came here to run, so I want to run. So I stepped on the park drive again, and I heard again, stop, don't do that. And I go, well, thank you for sharing, but I'm going to go for a run. I'll follow my instinct. Well, after 4 miles, I came down with a stress fracture.
Huh.
So I was being warned. And so I've learned really to pay attention and understand perhaps the stridency of what I'm told, or just the determination of
right.
what I'm hearing.
Right, no, I understand. Yeah.
For instance, one time I had friends in town. They were staying at a Midtown hotel, and we agreed that we're going to meet at a downtown, on the sidewalk outside a subway stop downtown in Lower Manhattan for dinner at a certain time. So I said, all right, I'm going to go surprise them by going down to Times Square, figuring that they said they were in a Midtown hotel, that they have to come down to the subway there to take the train. I'll beat them down there, meet them on the platform, and take the train with them. I'll surprise them. So I'm standing at the bottom of the stairway coming down to the subway platform, and I'm being told by Spirit, walk up the platform about 20 yards. And I go, no. If I do that, I won't see my friends walk down the stairs. And they said, move up the platform. And I said, oh, I'm not happy with this, but all right, I'll go along with you. So I moved up the platform, and I said, what good is it standing here? This isn't where my friends would come down the stairs. And they said, and then all of a sudden the train started coming to the station. They said, a door is going to open in front of you. You're going to step into this train. I said, no, this isn't my plan. They said, that's what you're going to do. And so the train came in, and they said, do it. And I said, okay. So I stepped into the car door, and in that subway car, my friends were standing right in front of me.
They were already in the car.
They had taken the stop ahead.
Oh.
And I didn't know that. So
that's what I would call synchronicity. That's a very synchronistic event.
But more than that, I was being argued with.
Right. So that would be instinct, Jewel. Versus
more than
intuitive.
This is being spoken to clearly,
right.
And
right.
Even complaining about it and arguing with it.
Right. So I guess the distinction between instinct and intuition would be instinct would be more of a primal kind of quality,
right.
where your basic body structure says, you know, the sort of the fight or flight, like a dog might know which way to go if he heard a smell or whatever, smelled the smell or whatever. It's that primal quality versus the intuition is more cerebral. Now you think it's more intellectually based. It's more of a message that you're getting through a sort of a feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Intuition is a knowing also. It's not necessarily words that you're hearing. Sometimes you're clear about what you understand without it coming in as words, but then you can turn it into words.
Right. So you get, it's almost like a, you're right, it's not quite as clear. The intuition has, it's much more amorphic. It has sort of qualities that are difficult to perhaps, it's more of a feeling, it's more of a an intuitive sort of tap on the shoulder, I guess, for more than anything else. About a theme, perhaps, or a concept, or something that you're picking up from someone, right?
Yes, those are knowings.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I also get a lot of words. Sometimes I just speak through those words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think. They're just coming through me. It's like I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, so now what, you're sort of like a you're a mouthpiece for that, or you're the transmitter.
Sometimes, yeah, but I'm conscious. It's not that I'm in a trance, but I'm just allowing free flow. It's like automatic writing.
Right.
It's automatic speaking.
Exactly, yeah. When you're involved, you mentioned that you there's a certain higher power, perhaps, that is speaking to you about in an intuitive manner about which way to do things or whatever. When you are picking up on the intuition of an individual, those are signals that are being sent from that individual to you directly, right? Or is there an intermediary?
I don't think it's direct. I think that I'm receiving information from a number of different sources. Let's talk about a deeper place in terms of how we function in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that our thinking doesn't really take place in our brains. Our thinking actually comes into our brains from the quantum field, from the energy field around us, from I call the universal computer, and that stores everything. And science is really learning about this now. They've never identified where thoughts are held in our mind. They can identify the thinking process, but not memory.
So you don't think of the mind as a memory bank.
Right. The memory bank is in the quantum field, which is a non-local field that's holographic, and so our brains have access to it. There are actually scientists who have identified the ways that our brain can tap into this quantum field. There are tubules in the brain that are the interconnectors. And so our brain is really a processor of memory, of so much of what we know and how we know it. Have you ever thought of where your thoughts come from?
All the time. And when you mentioned that, I was just thinking about why aren't we privy to more information, and why is our information selective to our lives only?
From familiarity. That's right. How we're trained is...
We have a certain neighborhood, so to speak.
Exactly. And not only neighborhood, but a technique, a process.
Right.
That
specialty.
This is the information that we can attune to. And so we're in the habit of doing that. Whereas for someone like me, when I work with people, I don't want to know anything.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I want to be told. So I go blank, and then I draw from that quantum field.
I see. So you sort of set your dial, and you say, I'm dialing in on Jenny today, for example, and I want to know what's going on with her. And you dial into Jenny, and you are able to download, in some ways, or receive information from a quantum field of information about her,
right,
that gives you the specifics in order to respond
and
to her.
And it's a very organized quantum field. It's very advanced science.
So it's like pulling up an IP address in some way.
Right. It's the most advanced computer we can imagine. And actually, in the computer world, they're starting to design quantum computers.
I understand that, yeah. It's interesting. It's very interesting because I was listening to a show the other day where the man was talking about the people who will be most successful going forward in life are those who are going to be able to embrace have the conversation with the computer as an ally versus an enemy or as an entity outside of themselves, working in concert with them.
We live in the computer.
Right.
So
but I think it's
denying self.
Becoming more intimate with the computer.
Right. Well, it's accepting the truth of how we really function. We function as a computer, but we function as a quantum computer, which is what people don't understand. That's why people reject it, because people see a computer as much too structurally limited.
Right.
So they don't want to fit into that tight structure.
There's boundaries to it.
Right.
And it's limited, whereas the mind we think of as being limitless.
Right. And so the quantum computer is limitless. And so I've always taught that we live in a universal computer, and the computer is very mathematical. There are a lot of codes there, and so we use those codes. We use them, for instance, in our names.
Mm-hmm.
Our birth dates are algorithms.
Well, you know, when we think about a computer, we know that there's limitations to it. So I think that's probably what defines it. If you've got a 120 gigabyte hard drive and you run out of Europe at 119, you've got 1 gigabyte left. You've come up against a wall. Whereas the quantum hard drive, perhaps, is limitless.
Right.
Right? That's the distinction.
Oh, it's amazing. And not only that, there's. I just did a radio show on Akashic Records.
Oh, yeah. That's a great subject. I've done that, yeah.
And when you're out there, let's say that you've passed on and you're now out in the universe at the level of what they call arrivals and departures out there,
mm-hmm.
you actually have access to computers. Actually, these are screens that you can watch through your whole life that you just lived. You can go back through time.
A scrapbook.
It's more than that, because it's actually video. You can see it, and then you can actually choose to climb into it.
Wow.
And so you can re-experience any part of your previous life as part of the learning process of reviewing it. It's not just, oh, let me remember what. No, it's actually, oh, look, there it is. You can see it. You can watch yourself as if there's a camera overhead.
Wow, that to me is fascinating. That's something I've always wanted to do. I've always thought that in our lifetime there would be modern science would bring us to a place where, because I've always been of the mind that our minds are like hard drives, and therefore there's all this information in there that's been stored since birth. I mean, we would theoretically be able to relive our birth since because of the fact that our mind was recording at that moment. So if we were to dial back to that moment, what would it be like coming out into the world? We would be able to determine what, like you mentioned earlier, if that was a positive experience or if it was a prenatal disruption of some sort.
Regressive hypnosis can do it for you anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Just work with somebody who does that. They'll hypnotize you, bring you back to any time in your childhood where you have maybe no memory or even a fleeting memory, and you'll have details all in front of you. I could say, okay, let's go back to your fifth birthday party. Maybe you had a birthday party and there were all these people there. And I could ask you now and I don't remember, I don't know. Maybe one of my friends could have been there. But if I hypnotize you and regress you back to that birthday party, you'll remember not only who was there, but what the food was, what people were wearing, all the experiences you have.
That's fascinating. Do you think that there, in our lifetime, there would be the ability for science to tap into that information in a way that would allow us to selectively pick where we wanted to be?
What do you mean?
Supposing I wanted to go back to a very pleasant experience in my life, just because it was such a wonderful time.
Well, you could regress hypnotically to go back there and re-experience it. But also, if you're out in the Akashic Records, you can actually enter into that and re-experience it. That's what I'm looking forward to that someday after I go. I'm looking forward to climbing back into some of my wonderful times here in this lifetime and have them again.
Mm. And I suppose there's some real therapeutic quality to that, too, because if you were to go back to areas where things were traumatic, say, for example, it would allow you to relive them and perhaps reposition them in your own minds in a way that allows them to be more healthy.
Very true, and that's the point of it. The point of the Akashic, going into the Akashic Records, is for realization, so that we can see not only the good stuff, I mean, I'm thinking of all, but to understand the impact we had in life, to see how we might have really hurt people and hurt ourselves in ways that we can now have perspective. And also, this helps us organize our understanding so we can move forward into the next life. That's really what the purpose is to see what our souls really still need to accomplish and discover about life.
Right. You have to be able to assimilate. You have to be able to assimilate your experiences in a way that are constructively evolutionary.
So you can imagine all the wonderful tools to be able to do that.
Yeah, it is fascinating. By the way, my guest today is Peter Roth. We're talking today about the concept of intuition. Peter is a intuitive healer. He works out of New York City. His website is heartriver.org, and it has been we're in the process of talking about the idea of intuition and how intuition perhaps is far different than what we originally imagined. And having access to intuition, we've all got intuition sort of as a, I have intuitive feelings. You have an intuition about a certain person, or you pick up on what I would consider to be a vibe of some sort, vibrational quality coming off somebody. And it's sort of an intuitive hit, and you sort of say, gee, I don't know, I just don't feel like going there, or I don't feel like this, or you have those sort of hits. But
yes,
yours is much deeper.
Right. I don't have those hits. I'll have people come in, and I'm not getting hits about them when they walk in and sit down on the couch and I'm sitting there. I'm just looking at them just like you would or anybody would look at somebody and go, I don't know, nice looking person. I'll say to somebody, so how's it going? They'll go, oh, fine. And I'll sit down in the chair and I'll say, well, let me tell you, it's not so fine, because I'll tell you what I'm hearing.
The conversation begins at that point. Do you have some sort of ritual that connects you with this source, or is it just sort of just comes on?
Well, it's a switching of gears into a focus,
right?
So I can hear.
Do you enter into
and
a
be aware?
Do you enter into a I hate to use this word, but do you enter into a state where you are more receptive, or you're blocking out other kinds of stuff, and you're solely focused on this type of this feed?
I can be present.
Yeah, I guess that's what it really comes down to, being very present, fully present.
Right.
And fully engaged in the individual and in the person and the time and the place where you are, to the point where you're able to get a very finely tuned channel on that person. And
I never know, it's a total openness, because I have no idea what's
So you approach it with innocence
totally,
and a clear slate.
Because if my mind was trying to figure anything out, I'd be worthless.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So you really do have to approach it very openly, very honestly, almost like a babe in the woods. You've just got to walk into it and say, with wonder.
Because I can be shocked, And by the way, we're talking about people being present, but 80% of my work is on the phone.
Yeah.
And so I can be on the phone with people and still see and hear and feel the same information just as clearly as somebody sitting there.
Because is it clearly?
Because I'm tapping into this field, the quantum field that is non-local. So it doesn't matter where people are. That's why you can ask me about anybody anywhere on the globe, and I can tap into them just sitting here with you.
What is it that directs you to that body of knowledge?
Purpose. That's all it is that, you know, you wouldn't even have to tell me a name. You just say, I'm thinking of someone, you know, in South America, or say, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, I start getting vibes.
Mm-hmm. You know. Do you find that information is more prevalent for people who are well-known?
No.
No. So somebody who's sitting on a street corner in New Delhi begging, you would know as much in their...
All I need is the purpose of knowing who that person is. Mm-hmm. I don't have to know details. I just have to have the identification in some form, any form.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, there are people who say, "Oh, I can't do a reading unless I have a piece of your jewelry or a lock of your hair." Well, to me, that they've created a self-limitation by saying that.
Right, I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense because it is it imposes. Yeah, it doesn't allow you to dial. But you're saying that you have the ability to dial in based on this vast archive of information that is stored. Now, when you talk about the archive, is the archive, do you believe the archive is pre-described or pre-set, or is this archive a work in progress? It's a cumulative, it's sort of storing data as we go along.
Of course, yeah, every second. Even our genes are that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of work I do with people looking at their ancestral genes to see what their problem is. I had a guy who came in and he had cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had it all his life. He was my age, so he was an older guy. And he had a life of a lot of suffering. And I said, "Oh, I know where you got that." And he said, "Oh, yeah? Where?" "Well, I can see it. It came from your great-grandfather, who was a mass murderer.
Oh, wow.
And you've inherited his genes, and that's why your karma is this way, and you're suffering from his life."
Did he have that choice?
He chose it, of course. We all choose our life.
So why would he not go back and choose something else? I'll take option B.
I'll explain that right after I tell you
okay.
What happened next. He said, "Oh, yes. That ancestor was a famous relative of mine who killed many, many people. And all through my life, I've been told I'm here to stop the killing."
Mm-hmm.
So he knew that he was here with that purpose.
So he sort of bore the brunt of the lives before him.
But he chose it because out there, we're really willing to choose suffering because that's actually what we're here for.
Well, it helps you build character. It helps you. Helps you evolve. Helps you. I mean, I believe we are here to suffer as well.
Okay.
Through that comes growth.
Exactly. What it is that our souls build compassion and love.
As a result. As a
right.
result. Yeah.
Even if we don't build it in this lifetime, some people you don't think ever get to that place where they've grown at all. They've just been destructive. But the souls over time, maybe a couple of lifetimes, eventually build great wisdom and compassion.
Through experience, through repetitive experience. Now, when you look at that sort of concept on a global level, do you have hope or optimism for the evolution of this concept as en masse? So in other words,
yeah.
Do you see people repeat, you know, people be, through the course of these repetitive sort of life choices that they've made, and sort of the arduous paths they've gone down. Do you see them? Do you see us as a species eventually coming to a place?
Well, we have to because we live in a very primitive place. Earth,
but less primitive than 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So we are making progress, right?
Very little.
Okay, right, yeah.
I think we're making a lot of progress, but globally it doesn't look so good. We're destroying the planet. Everything is falling apart. Maybe 100 years ago we were more optimistic about what we could create.
Well,
now
just
we
medicine
see
alone.
How much we've destroyed.
Right, no, I agree, but we have made progress. You know, just you know, the simple fact that 100 years ago your teeth would be falling out by now.
I think we're on the verge of huge breakthroughs, that everything is coming around. I mean, granted, The world of medicine has grown tremendously, but it's also gotten stuck, very badly stuck, into terrible limitations.
Right.
And yet, it's about to be transformed. I know I have a friend of mine who is going to be one of the major transformers of it. He has a whole product line that he's coming out with in, we won't see it for a couple of years because the FDA is working with him to pull it, bring it out, but it will actually cure all diseases. And the pharmaceutical companies are going to go are starting to come into partnership with him because they have lost the battle. There are not a lot of new drugs in the workplace. Their laboratories are not teeming with great new discoveries. They see that it's petering out, and they have to do something new.
Well, they're really sort of like shooting in the dark. There's not a whole lot that they are able to. And I'm sort of speaking as a novice, I guess, but it's from my casual observation and my own personal experience of dealing with highly complicated medicines in, with people in my life who I've known very closely. There is a hit or miss quality to it. It's not as if it's
that's because we're not sophisticated enough,
right?
But we're coming into that time.
Right.
See, this whole new product line that can cure diseases actually cures our DNA.
Right, which is where the basic flaws are.
Right, it works at that level where actually we cure ourselves because our DNA is then healed to be able to do that.
You know, when I think about this and I overlay all of what we're talking about with the concept of astrology and where the planets are and where we are seeing movement and stuff, and I know that you also are an astrologer and you're familiar with the vernacular. When we talk about this, this to me indicates a very strong sort of restructuring. So, and I think restructuring comes from moments when there is tension in the charts, in the global charts. So whenever we have squares,
right, we just,
you know, we're in the midst
Pisces
of
Pisces to Aquarius.
Right.
We're in the Aquarian age, and that creates huge disruption.
And also with the, you know, with the transiting planets, you know, the Uranus-Pluto square. Uranus typically is delivers innovation and helps bring forth you know, remarkable discoveries
through upset
right, but and people, I think when they, so I've always seen that as a sort of a harnessing of potential, because potential is always there, and it's with whether or not we decide to use it in an appropriate manner,
right,
that makes the most sense.
The potential for humanity is huge right now. We are moving into a time of great evolution, consciously and planetarily, and I think we're going to save the planet and save humanity. I don't know how long it'll take. I get intuitively that it'll be pretty soon, but maybe for many people not soon enough. In the meantime, life has so many limitations that we are breaking through, because I guess if you don't know what you're breaking through, you don't break through it so easily.
Right. So are you optimistic?
In the long run, yes.
Hmm.
It's just that it's a learning curve, and the breaking through has its own problem.
So if anything, maybe you might say a little impatient, perhaps, because, you know, it's taking a long time to get there.
Yeah. I am. I'm a lot older than people might think, so I realize that my window might be getting smaller, but I also believe that we're learning to live healthier longer, and we can actually reverse aging, and so I'm excited about those opportunities.
Yeah, there are some very interesting things involved. I mean, this whole concept of intuition is a fascinating subject for me. And I think that we are on the brink of, you know, we're going to go into an area where we see using intuition as a tool to help us evolve will be very valuable. And so do you help people learn to tap into their intuition? Is that?
I teach intuitive development.
Intuitive
Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's at my website, Heart River,
H-E-A-R-T,
river.org. is a school that I formed many years ago, and thousands of students have come through, and I've taught many people to not only be intuitive, but many have become professional intuitives. They amaze me how terrific they've become, and I'm proud of them. So I love to teach people how to tune in, how to do this, and people become so fascinated by the process.
Do you find people more prone to it than others, depending upon
Yes.
their astrological makeup?
Yes, and people will come to classes, and some people will just totally embody it, and other people will bump around and go, I guess maybe I'm not supposed to be this way.
And do you find, when I'm bringing it back again to astrology, do you find an elemental quality? Like, you know, typically in astrology we would think of water, the presence of water, as being a strong intuitive guide, or even air for that matter, just because of the cerebral quality and the ability to connect.
Well, I'm air, so I can identify with being air. But I know so many intuitives that represent all different.
And they may be tapping into a different area of it, for
it's
sure.
It's true, for yeah. sure. There are so many people who, and in my classes it's that way. I say, don't judge yourself according to what other people are intuiting, because you're not going to intuit what they're intuiting. You're going to intuit what you're intuiting,
mm-hmm.
which, and let's say we have a subject that we're intuiting that person, and we all sit around. And I say, okay, what are you getting about this person? What are you getting? What are you getting? And each person will get different things.
Right.
And they'll say, oh, I must be wrong because I'm not getting what they got. But then the person that we're intuiting says, wow, you all got different things, but you're all so right.
Yeah, and when you are in a situation with an individual, does the information come that is coming through the right information for the time? So in other words, any point in anybody's life, they may have trauma or be experiencing some sort of situation that requires help. Are you able to dial in the specific? Are you able to get specificity?
I don't need to. It comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I believe that we're being fed what's correct.
And so, therefore, the necessary feed is going to be applied to the necessary problem.
I trust that I'm going to be hearing what this person needs to hear.
Yeah, it's a fascinating subject. I've always been intrigued by it, and I think I have pretty good intuition. I would be interested in trying to hone that skill and see if it was as good as I thought, or at least learn some new practices sometime. So perhaps I will look into that with you. My guest today is Peter Roth. We're talking about intuition on the show. You're listening to Turning of the Wheel on my new station here, and it's very exciting for that. So I think that it's appropriate to be on Awakening Zone and to be talking to this great mind about this wonderful subject of intuition. Intuition is something that we sort of, there's many catchphrases in American society that use the word intuition. You know, people say, follow your gut. This is a different source. This is a different and that's what I think is fascinating about it. It really is a different source. It's a different brand of intuition, for lack of a better word. It comes from a much different source, I think, than, like we were talking earlier, the instinct versus the intuition. And the intuition is going to be delivering us a much more refined information that's more more in keeping with where we need to go, I guess.
Well, I trust both. Intuition is detail. Intuition is the
strategy or the tactic.
It's the information. It's the data. Whereas instinct is just an impulse. And I think impulses we have to honor. If we're clear, if we can trust our impulses, if we know, you know, to not be, in other words, not be influenced by something negative, but intuition helps create so much clarity about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now I also know, you know, that I can converse with whatever the instinct is and ask about it and get more data on it.
So what kind of a person would come to you, and what sort of a thing would they come to you with? What sort of
you
a...
You name it.
So someone would come to you and say, I'm blocking on my career, I just can't seem to
sure.
get it, I'm blocking on...
I work with business executives who will send me a list of 10 names of people they're interviewing for some management position,
wow.
and say, just go through these names one at a time and tell us what the person's personality is like, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and I'll just hit each name. I'm not analyzing the name. I just hit the name, and that opens me up to receiving from the universe, and I give them the data.
Wow.
And they are amazed at how accurate it is, because often these are people they've already been putting through interviews.
Yeah. When you when you talk about cultivating this as growing as through your life, so you've come to a point in your life where you're very proficient at what you do.
It's shocking to me. I get shocked by it.
Mm-hmm.
I work with elite athletes, mostly runners, because I have a running background, and they can be anywhere in the world, and they can call me, and right away I start seeing what's wrong with their bodies. I can feel it. My hands can just go through their bodies and feel what's out of place, what's not functioning properly. And then I can also go back to the source of what it is. And it might just be that they're having a fight with their significant other, or their, maybe they had some food poisoning, or who knows
what
it
is. Right, exactly, yeah.
But it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of nutritional counseling because I can feel the energy of any foods, any substances, any supplements in the body, and feel the energy and see if it clicks or not. And so I can help people remove a lot of supplements that they're wasting their money with, or add that are specifically important.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of medical intuition, where I'm actually seeing, I can feel the energies of all the organs and glands, circulation.
Are you able to apply it to yourself?
Sometimes. It's much harder to be an intuitive
yourself. No, I would say so. I would say so. We've been talking today about intuition with Peter Roth. His website is heartriver.org, and there's one other thing I want to talk about real quick. We've got about 3 minutes left.
By the way, it can be found at peter@heartriver.org. That's my email address.
peter@heartriver.org.
And let me give you my phone number while we're at it.
Sure, okay.
212-222-7748.
Okay, very good. But I do want to ask you one more thing, which is about your the true life circles, which is something that we had briefly talked about. So
right.
If you could just, we've only got about 3 minutes, but if you could crystallize that.
This is a system that was delivered to me. It took about a second for the whole system to come into my consciousness. It was one of those magical things. I was told that our birth dates are our spiritual address in the universe, and that we can actually use them, the algorithm of our birth dates, for healing. And the way we do that is we draw an 8-inch circle, draw a birth date into the circle in a green magic marker, and place our left hand on it. But at the same time, I'm to be sent the birth date. I have an 8-inch circle. I'd write that same person's birth date into my circle with a blue magic marker, and I put my right hand on it. And at the same time that their left hand is on their circle, my right hand is on my circle for 10 minutes, and those are scheduled times that I email people, because there are hundreds of people. It's a free program, so there are hundreds of people in the program. There's a transmission that goes on during those 10 minutes that deconditions the psyche. It's like a stem cell treatment for the psyche.
And what do you gain from that?
Clarity, renewal.
Ah, good things.
Yep.
So it's like going through the car wash. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Right.
You're going through the mental car wash.
You're going back to the essence of who you're born to be.
Mm-hmm.
Your
and it's sort of a reaffirmation of your birth code. It's sort of a charging the battery.
Exactly.
So I encourage people to do that. Now, how would we go about doing that?
Just go to heartriver.org and you'll see, find out about True Life Circles. Click on that and you can sign up. You'll get my emails. I'll get your birth date. It's all, and it's free.
Wow, fascinating. And definitely encourage people to do that. It's something that it would be a great sort of it's a great sort of social experiment. It's a great astrological experiment. It's a great psychic and renewal experiment that helps you recharge your batteries.
And I keep getting great feedback from people about it.
So that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Peter, for coming on today. You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel. As you know, my show is about astrology, art, and spiritual venture, and we've been on quite an adventure today. I'd like to get you back on at some time, Peter, to talk and maybe perhaps do some live intuitive consulting on the air so we could see what that was really like. I think that might be Fascinating. Peter can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, and his phone number is 212-222-7748. And thanks so much, Peter, for coming on today. I appreciate it very much.
Chris, it's been great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, very good. Okay, take care.
You too.
Bye. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel. My name is Chris Fisher. As you know, this is a show.
Hello, you're on the air. Can I take your free astrology reading?
Yes, please.
Okay, what's your name?
Shay.
Shay, okay. And what's your birthday, Shay?
8/21/75.
8/21/75. Do you know the time of birth?
Not sure.
Not sure. Do you know if it's morning or evening?
I'm not sure.
Morning or, you know, or daytime or nighttime?
I'm thinking daytime.
A.M. So you don't know any even approximate period of time?
No.
Okay. And where were you born, Shay?
West Virginia.
You know the town?
Grantsville.
Grantsfield?
Grantsville. Grantsville. Grantsville.
Okay, Grantsville. Okay, so is there a, it's P-R-A-N-C-E?
G-R-A-N-C-E. Grant.
Oh, Grantsville. Okay, I'm sorry. It's
Grantsville, yes.
Grantsville, okay. I've been to West Virginia, and it is a fairly interesting place, I'll tell you. I found it to be very, I'm not quite sure the word I want to use to describe it, but I found it to be very, well, it's very rural, and it's very, there's parts of it that are incredibly poor, if I recall, being a
yes.
sort of a mining state.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of poverty, but beautiful countryside, and, you know, has a great quality. I mean, I remember the scenery being incredibly beautiful when you were in the right area, I guess is what it would come down to, right?
Yes.
Still live in West Virginia?
Yes.
You do. Okay. Let's see what we have for you. Okay. All right, Shay, I have you as your birthday is, it gives you a your sun, it's at 27 degrees Leo, and your moon, which would be accurate in this case, even though we don't really know the actual time of birth, I'm going to say that your moon is in Aquarius, and it looks to me as if your rising sign is in Scorpio. Now, that is an estimate only because of the fact that we don't know your actual live birth time. If I knew your live birth time, then things would be, I'd have a much clearer indication of what was going on. That's why the accuracy is so important for the birth time, because that really sets what's known as the ascendant. Once you know the ascendant, then you can put all the houses in subsequently, and then you'll know exactly where the activity is in the chart, because the placement of the houses is like a giant, on a giant wheel, so that depends largely on the time of birth. That's where you get the more granular characteristics of the chart, but even still, with this much information, I can still get a lot of information about who you are and where you are. The house may not be accurate, but at least certain characteristics of it are going to be accurate. Having a moon in Aquarius indicates a very much of a, and of course, your moon in Aquarius is directly opposing your natal sun, which gives you, interestingly enough, it's sort of like your emotions sometimes can get the better of you. And it's usually about an intellectual conversation, so to the point where, you know, your views are very fixed. You're a fixed sign, meaning that your opinions, your views, your ideas, even your emotions are fairly centered and fairly rooted in a either a black answer or a white answer. And I don't mean that with regard to race. I simply mean with regard to...
Yes, I understand. That sounds
correct. No, one, zero. You know, it's kind of the same, a positives or negatives. You tend to have a very ardent and very, you know, you strongly believe in your characteristics of who you are, and at the same token, very much wedded to the idea of what your opinions are. Now, the good side of that is that when you do make up your mind, you are now one who changes easily. The downside of that is that you're very difficult to convince of moving in any other direction. So there's a certain element of stubbornness to you and your emotions, and that is a difficult point. So, like I said, it's a two-sided coin. In some cases, there's a very nice characteristic to you, which is the fact that you, once your mind is made up, we can depend upon Shay to get us there because she has not changed her mind, will not change her mind, but the idea of you needing to change your mind, which might happen in a relationship where you might have to decide you've got to bend a little bit in order to make somebody else happy, because relationships really are it's a conversation of compromise whereby you have to be able to listen to the other person, accept what they're feeling and saying in order for them to gain the ability to listen to you. So you've got to have that balance. If you don't have that balance in a relationship, the relationship will be unbalanced and it'll be difficult. You actually would do okay, I think, for the most part, with another fire sign. So an Aries or a Sagittarius would do okay with you, simply because the sun in your in a fire sign and then the moon in an air sign has a certain compatibility to it, because the air feeds the fire feeds the air. So if you did run into an Aries person or a Sagittarius person, you probably would do okay with them because of the fire of your natural Leo sun and then the air quality of your natural natal Aquarius moon would provide a very interesting area. So there, emotionally, you have a certain detachment. You have a very large view of the world. You're emotionally, you are driven to sort of serve and help others, and it's a very strong family component there, where you do become sort of the bedrock of sort of a backbone character of a family in a situation where that becomes incredibly important. But the piece that you've got to watch for is that stubbornness. You've got Uranus at 29 degrees Libra. Uranus, I mentioned only because of the fact that it's going to be coming across at a time in your life, probably in the next 5 to 7 years, you will see perhaps a breakthrough of some kind, very dramatic. And if this chart is correct, which I can only guess because I don't know the time, Saturn and Mercury are together in your first house, and that is a time of Saturn, I think, even though Saturn tends to push us in ways that are difficult, I also see Saturn as being very helpful, because Saturn is your friend. It is the one person that's sort of like having your mother there telling you to clean up your bedroom when you're a kid. It's a pain in the neck to have to listen to her if you want to go out and play, but by the same token, once your room is picked up, you do feel better. So it's kind of like, or like taxes, for example. You know, April 15th, we all hate paying them. Once they're done, we feel better that they're paid and stuff like that, or maybe we don't actually, but the point of the matter is that Saturn is a forcing function that keeps you honest and tried and true. So always remember that. Also, it looks like if Mars is passing over your natal Venus in your 10th house, so actually not a bad time for your career over the last several months, I would say. Last 8 weeks or so have been pretty good with regard to your career. And when Mars goes retrograde, it'll be going back over that same period up until around March. So between now and March, you're going to have an opportunity to sort of redo things in your career or at work, where perhaps there needs to be some work that needs to be done there. So does that all make sense?
Yes. I had some health concerns. Do you see anything?
Health concerns, the only thing I see, well, you've got Jupiter, if this chart, again, is accurate, if Jupiter is accurate, I've got Jupiter and Chiron, which is the planet of healing, at 24 degrees Aries, which is actually in your sixth house. Uranus, in transiting Uranus, is at 9 degrees, so there's a wide enough orb there where it's not effective, but it is. Uranus has gone through your sixth house, which is the house of health. It looks as though if you keep on a diligent path with regard to making yourself better in some regard, it does look as though you could have a positive outcome. That's what I would see overall.
Okay.
The potential is there for a positive outcome, but it does require, it looks like, some work on your part to get there. So whatever advice you're getting, whatever treatments that you may be receiving, whatever it is, whatever path you've chosen in order to make yourself better, it would be important to keep up with that, because I do think that your outcome will be positive. You do have Jupiter in your sixth house, if this chart is correct, and that is a auspicious placement for health in general.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, you're on. Hello, you're on Turning of the Wheel. Can I take your astrology reading?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
Good, yeah.
Yes, please. I would love to. You were so detailed with the other call. I would love to have your eye again, I guess, on my situation.
Okay, very good. What's your name?
Okay, my name is Jamel.
Jamel, okay. Mm-hmm. And what's your birthday?
It's December 23rd, 1981.
12/23/81, and your time of birth, you know?
is 1:57 p.m.
1:57 p.m., and you know where you were born?
In Brooklyn, New York.
Good old Brooklyn, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still in New York?
Yeah, I'm still here. I've been born and raised, sort of gone through all the mayors
Brooklyn
and times.
Brooklyn has
gone
through an enormous change, hasn't it? I mean, it's the place to be now. I mean, I have good friends that live there, and it's a really different place than what it used to be. And
mm-hmm.
I love the fact that it's gone and been through those changes because it really, speaks to the quality of the area and what you can do when you put some money into reviving a neighborhood. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see. I've almost got your information here. Just what I do is I run a chart, cast a chart based on who you are, and then I see the information there. Okay, Jamel, looks like you have a your sun is at 1 degree of Capricorn. Your moon is at 3 degrees Sagittarius, and your rising sign is Taurus. So interestingly enough, any time that you get to read astrology, whether it's in the weekly reports or if you see it on daily on the news or if you read it on the website, wherever you go to get your astrology fix per se, you always want to read Capricorn and you always want to read Taurus together. Between the two of them together, you'll get an accurate reading of what's going on in your life that week or that month or that day. So always, and remember that from now on, even though you see yourself as a Capricorn, always read Taurus at the same time. When you read those two together and you put those two little sentences together or those two little characterizations of what's going to be happening, you'll be getting 80 to 85% accuracy of what's going to be going on in your life. That is where the astrology works. So always remember Taurus, always remember Capricorn. Anytime you read astrology, it'll be within one of those two areas. And the reason that's the case is because your rising sign is actually the sort of the clothes that you wear. It's literally the costume that you are in. So when you're in this costume as a Taurus and people see you as a Taurus, you get treated like a Taurus. And then because you have that as your costume, and that's sort of the mask that you wear going out to the world, people treat you that way. And then you, because of being wearing that for so long, you end up actually becoming more comfortable in that skin. Now, fortunately for you, Taurus and Capricorn are both earth signs, so very basic primal earth-like qualities, you know, the foundational, you know, aspects of what your chart are like are going to be very earthly bound, so meaning that you're good in, you know, things that have to do with the physical, tangible earth or have to do with buildings or have to do with hard, fast, constructive things. These are all very stable areas of your life. With the moon in Sagittarius, your moon and your Uranus are together, meaning that you really do have a wandering spirit, especially when it comes to relationships. And the idea of travel and excitement are very real in your life. Travel and education have been really, will be, if they haven't already, will be big motivators for you, and they're areas that would be wise for you to pursue. It would be a great area for you to really put some energy in there. You have unusual relationships, but they're very bound by this sense of adventure and almost a sense of wanderlust. I mean, there's that real sense of wanderlust. You have Venus in your 10th house. Your 10th house is your house of career. Very good placement for career for the most part if you are working in large organizations such as community or hospitals or universities. Where you want to be is you want to be in an environment where your impact can be felt in a larger quality. It's not so much about you as it is about who you are as an individual, what you can contribute to make society better, what you can bring to the community. And the community is in quotes. You really want to remember that. It's a wonderful time for you to be interested in all sorts of esoteric sciences right now. Venus is currently moving through your 8th house. That's the house of spirituality. It's the house of self-discovery. And the areas that you're having the greatest challenge right now really do come through your area of your work or your health. Both of those have been areas where you have felt an enormous sort of weight, or at least that now the desire to sort of right yourself. You know, there's a sense of, you know, Saturn is sort of pushing down on you, saying you've got to live your life a little bit differently, and you can make modest adjustments to your life in order to make that better. You do have Jupiter in your sixth house in Scorpio, which is a good placement. You've also got Pluto there. You've got your natal Saturn there. A lot of intellectual capacity in your sixth house, which is about service to others. So it really is about an intellectual conversation. It really is for you. You really do express yourself through words. You are very much of a communicative person. You're driven by words. You're driven by the intellectual conversation. That's a very strong tug for you. And lately that has been going through some sort of reorganization. Saturn, Mercury, all those planets have been moving through your sixth house over the last, well, Saturn's been there for about 2 years, so you would have had some, you would have felt some, and Saturn is like, the experience of Saturn is like swimming with shoes on. So if you've ever gone swimming with shoes on, or you've fallen into water and you're swimming with shoes on, you know that it's not easy to swim with shoes on. You can keep yourself above water, but you feel that that swimming is harder, you've got to work extra hard, or it's kind of like walking around with a backpack on all day. You know, it's like, okay, I got the backpack on, it's kind of getting tired of walking around with this thing all day. Yes, I'm getting around okay, but the backpack is still there. That's what it feels like. So that's the kind of energy that you'd be feeling as a result of Saturn going through your sixth house. So keep that in mind. You're almost out of that, and Saturn is going to be entering into your seventh house, which is your relationship house, which when you get Saturn there will make you a more responsible partner for somebody. And actually, your partner, if you have one, will be happy to see it there because it really does spell out responsibility with regard to relationship. And relationship can be from significant partner to anybody who you are close friends with. So most people will be happy to see that in you as it gets there. So how does that sound to you? Does that all make sense?
Yes, it does. Oh, my God. I mean, I wrote that. You were saying things so fast I couldn't keep up. But the last thing, the last thing, the shoes and the water, it has been 2 years since I'm a caregiver, sort of. And
yep.
It has been, I've been using an analogy of not shoes, but I said my shoulders feel weight down
Of
all the burdens I'm getting. Language is big for me because I love Virginia Woolf, I love Shakespeare, I love all that, and so language is big for me. And yes, I have been having issues with money and health. The crazy thing is, I don't feel like it, it's hopeless. I feel like I'm just sort of like almost like a kid, just waiting for the third bell to ring and say, okay, here we go. Let me go and go get this job, and let me go eat right and do it. And I just sort of been challenged in those ways.
Yeah, it's,
I
not
can't.
It's not an alarm. It's just sort of a wake-up call. It's like, okay, waiting for the third bell is a very good analogy. You're just, you know, you're almost there, and you're very close to it. But it's been a trial, and it's sort of been an awakening of sorts because it's kind of the thing that says, okay, I got to do these things. And it's just a gentle prod, you know, but it's okay to have that. And
Chris, can I ask you one thing? Because when people do this, when you know, like you, or I've had a reading before when I've given the birthday, and it's been so, like you just did, spot on and goes detail, more than even a reading from a psychic or intuitive.
Right.
I've had those. I had a friend who, you know, he'd be in Brooklyn, have his table, he have his cards, he have his chart, he just does it daily, and I know people does it daily, and they create it and they do it, and that just seemed like such a soothing, calming way to do it. Is there any way that I know that how I was born is like the main thing, you know, but it's the main thing, but the daily, like today is Friday, okay, now what's going to happen today, and then I'll look through, how do I do it daily, and is it different than doing a birth, know when I was born? I don't get the two.
You could do it daily, yeah, right, I understand. You could do it daily or a weekly. I have a newsletter that goes out every Sunday evening. If you want to sign up for that, you can from my website.
Okay.
And my website is turningofthewheel.com.
Okay.
And there's a thing on there that allows you to click on that. That gets sent to you automatically, and then every Sunday evening you would look up and you'd see your – and I think the weekly is probably the best, simply because daily can be very convoluted because the planets don't change that much. So you need to have a period of time in between – where, you know, the moon changes every 2.5 days, it moves into a new sign. But the planets themselves don't change enough. So a week glimpse is a very good period of time in which to glimpse, because enough will happen within the course of a week to give you significant guidance as to which way you go. So this newsletter comes out every Sunday evening at 5:30, so that when you get to work on Monday morning or whatever, it's in your mailbox, and you would read, in your case, you would always read Capricorn, and you'd always read Taurus. And when you read those two together, you'll know what's going to be happening in the which room of your life it's going to be happening in. That's the most important. It's really about activity happening in which room. And the more detailed you become in that, and of course, you know, if you went and had a professional reading where you actually spent an hour on the phone with me and I gave you your full report, we would get into all the minutiae of what your chart has and the potential it has and where your challenges are, far more than you get in a 5 or 10 minute reading like you're getting right now. You know, the detail really, the devil really is in the detail, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that the details are where the action is, and yet those can only be derived from a longer, much longer conversation than you get here. But
well,
in the short term,
I think I might be interested in that, because another thing that, and that you know, you said and the devil in detail. I had a reading before recently. Somebody pulled up a card and said, "Oh, it's not as scary." For some reason, because I love Lord of the Rings, I remember when Gandalf had to face that big thing, a fire, and it was coming, and he battled. You know, and I feel like in some way in my subconscious, I'm sort of there, like I can see something big and fiery, and I'm small, and I really am not scared of cards or things, or I'm more getting to that space right now where I'm not open to the shadow, but more open into the power I have within. You know, like I can.
So you do, and you know, it's a matter of harnessing that power, and you know, you're absolutely right. It's nothing to be fearful of. It's just about.
That's right.
The better informed you are, the better decisions you can make. And astrology is incredibly accurate because it's really the only divination tool that is based in science. Everything else is sort of hearsay. You know, people throw cards out, whatever. And I don't have any problem with people throwing cards out. What I'm saying is that there's a certain quality of randomness there, whereas in astrology, there's no randomness. The chart says what the chart says. This is where you are. This is who you are as an individual. It's substantiated by 5,000 years of experts, people who, you know, the world's greatest psychologists, return to it still as a divination tool, because it's far more accurate than the random chance of turning over a card in the deck. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that means. You could say, well, that card, you chose that card by some sort of divine power. But when you stack that up compared to this, or I would say numerology also is accurate, because they are both based on the logic and the science of the universe, which I think is timeless. So you have this strong urge right now. You can see it. You've got your natal Pluto slowly moving through your ninth house, which is the house of education. There's a real strong curiosity on your part to expand and to broaden your mind with spiritual topics, to the extent where the more that you understand, the more comfort actually comes through it, because you begin to see the logic that's there, and you're not operating from a sense of fear. It's almost like you're operating from a sense of wonder, because more open to you, you become more deeply entrenched, and you begin to see the accuracy and the synergy and the way it all fits together. And then you're like, wow, this stuff just absolutely blows my mind, because it works. And when you see it working, you get instant verification and instant validation. And I know it works because of the simple fact that people such as yourself call me up from around the world. I have no idea who they are or where they're coming from. All I know is their birth date, place, and time. I cast the chart, I see the chart, and immediately I can see what's going on in their lives, and they respond accordingly. So I know that it's incredibly validating in that regard, which is what keeps me doing it, because I know how accurate it is. And it's really just incredible, like you said. So from now on, always read Capricorn, always read Taurus. Taurus is it's a magical point for you to know that one piece of data, just that one extra point. Just always read Capricorn, always read Taurus.
You know what?
Yeah,
you're the only one. You know, because you probably know Mark Hershen, and I love him. Me and him are friends on Facebook, and I got reading with him or anybody, and I never got that little tidbit of, because sometimes I'll read Capricorn even in books, and not fully go, oh, okay, well, maybe 65%, okay, all right. And the fact that you said that I could fill in the rest
Taurus, I guarantee it. And you know, as you age, Jamel, you will become more like a Taurus as you age. So the characteristics that you are currently are there are going to be more so as you move on. You know, and Taurus is known explore a lot of interesting characteristics. They're known for being stubborn. They're known for being moving slow. They're known for keeping their opinions and being very fixed. But they're also known as fun-loving people who are very sensuous and have a great time, love food and drink and have a great time. So they're very, you know, they're very earthbound, sensual people who have great characteristics to them. So, but you always want to read the two together because you're going to see a great deal of truth in what you read about Taurus. It's going to begin to resonate with you, and you'll begin to see that. So always, that's your gem for the day, is you're always going to read Taurus, and you're always going to read Capricorn. And that
will
carry you through. And then, like I said, if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll see what's going on each week. And I think the week is a better time frame simply because there's enough time activity that happens in between. Even as it is, within the weeks, you'll see similar themes. You know, if you're, you know, you'll see similar themes occur because the activity of the universe is slow moving. But those themes are there, and they're really relevant. So it's great. But thanks
all
for calling.
Thank you. Okay,
yeah,
thank you. I'll be contacting you probably through your website or something to, you know, like you said, do more.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You're very welcome. Yeah, take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay, I am going to take one more call. Looks like I've got time for one more. And let's see what we got here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Yeah.
Good, how are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name is Sharon.
Sharon, and what's your birthday, Sharon?
March 19th, 1956.
3-19-56. Okay, 4:00 what?
4:05 a.m.
A.m. and where?
Hudson, New York.
Hudson, New York. I know Hudson. I've been there.
Of course you have.
Of course
it's
I have.
Popular place.
I've been. I've got a good friend that lives there, actually. March 19th, 1956.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And you said not, 4:05 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay. And in Hudson. And that's not far from, okay, hang on just a second. That's not far from Woodstock.
Right.
Yeah. Did you go to Woodstock by any chance?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you were there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the festival? No.
Yeah. Okay, but you've been to the town.
I think I was only 12. I watched everybody leave town. I watched everybody go. I didn't
right.
go.
Yeah, no, you were probably too young at the time, right?
Yeah, I was about 12, I think.
Yeah.
1969, yeah. Too young.
Okay, so I have you down. It's March 19th, 1956, 4:05 a.m. in Hudson, New York, and that gives you a rising sign of Aquarius. So I have you at 10 degrees Aquarius as your rising sign. Your sun is at 28 degrees Pisces, and your moon is at 24 degrees Gemini. Interestingly enough, so going forward, you always want to be able to read Pisces and Aquarius. Number one, first out of the gate, you always want to read Aquarius. I mean, I'm sorry, you always want to read Pisces and Aquarius together. When anytime you read astrology, whether it's on a daily basis, monthly basis, or on a weekly basis, always read those two together, because when you read the two together, you're going to get a much more accurate impression of, and the accuracy of the astrology will be there, largely because of the fact that you now know your rising sign. Your rising sign is the mask that you wear. It's what how people see you in the world. And the longer you wear that mask, the more comfortable you become in that. It's kind of like being comfortable in your skin. So as you age, you become more like your rising sign. So even though you are a Pisces, you know, a very visceral, knowledgeable Pisces, you're also going to be expressing yourself more as an Aquarius as you age. And Aquarius people are very globally oriented people. They're very intellectually bound, intellectually stimulated, because it's an air sign. So it's all about the conversation. For you and everybody who's near you and engages with you, it's always about the conversation. And the conversation is critical to you
with regard to making connections to people. You have to be able to connect with people on an intellectual basis. And typically, the ideas that really drive you and spur you on and make you more inspired are things that have to do with the humanity and global concerns. This is more of a humanitarian kind of a goal. You know, your goals are not necessarily self-centered, although we all have a degree of that, but yours are more about the community. This is more about a much larger area, you know, so you would do well working in community organizations such as universities or hospitals or libraries, things that certainly serve the public. You know, food pantries would be a great place to spend time,
yeah,
simply because you have an entity and a desire to really express yourself in a global pattern. Now, you do have the moon in Gemini, which means you're a very active thinker. You're probably the type of person that can do four or five things at once simultaneously, or that you have a difficult time sleeping. But that is a mind that never turns off. It is a constant churn. Always going, always going, always going. You're able to multitask. You're able to do three or four things at once and able to carry on multiple conversations. You're probably right now, as you're listening to me talk, you're probably doing something on your computer or doing three or four other things at the same time. That is the beauty of a Gemini.
Right.
Because Geminis have that kind of mind. They can be on the phone, they can be on the web, they can be in the supermarket all at the same time and taking care of a child at the same time. They are multitaskers to the highest order and yet very efficient. The problem sometimes that you can bump into with the Gemini moon or a strong Gemini quality is taking on five things when you really should be doing three. You know, it's okay to multitask, yes, but don't you break, there's a point in time where that begins to break down, and that may be, you know, six things is maybe too much. Maybe you should do three things. So it's better to do three things really well than six things half well.
Okay.
With regard to your career, very, very responsible career person. You're a great person. You have Saturn in your 10th house in Sagittarius. I would hire you because I think that Saturn in a 10th house is a very, very responsible person. They're the type of person who does very well with regard to detail, on time, deadlines. All of that stuff is very critical for you. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And you're the type of person that does very well in that. Also, I would go in areas of psychology are very important for you. It's an interesting area for you. It's the whole realm of the esoteric. And
right.
I think I might be off the air pretty soon, so I've got to run out of I've got 4 minutes left. Okay.
Okay.
The esoteric qualities are very strong for you. So this is an intellectual quality that's very rich in who you are. You express yourself with words. You're very expressive with words. You've got your Mercury at 12 degrees Pisces. You know, the thing about a Pisces and the way they express themselves is that they have a very dreamlike, lofty quality to themselves. And they often appear to be lost in the ozone, literally. People who are Pisces tend to be dreamers. They sort of have this dreamlike quality, and they're almost lost in their own little movie of the world. But when you're able to express that and you're able to get that into a spot where it's more concrete, which is where your Gemini moon comes in, magical things can happen. So you really do have a quality there. You have your moon is in your fifth house. So if you were to use that moon and that energy that you have in a creative effort or even being childlike in a sense and being having a certain sense of loss of innocence, you're actually in your happiest. So I think you do very well there. So that's what I can see real quickly. The hardest challenges for you right now actually are in your ninth house where Saturn and Mercury currently are now, and that is all about travel and education. So that's where you're really finding your biggest challenges, and that may be, you know, trying to figure out which way you want to go next or where you want to go next, and that could very well be where you're finding the challenge. But that's what I got for you, Sharon. So.
Wow. Thank you so much.
You're very
welcome,
and thanks for calling in. I am running out of time, though.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, I have got to go. That is all she wrote, as they say, and so I am going to see you all next week live.
You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel with your host, Chris Fisher. To schedule a reading with me or to order artwork, you may visit my website at www.chrisflisher.com. That's www.chrisflisher.com. Or email me, and you can call me at 978-393-1036. That's 978-393-1036. Thank you. And as always, be open to possibilities.